All right, welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Beth Ollicott.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework, ground claw stabbers. Yeah.
Yeah, you're stabbing today, definitely.
It's been a day. It's been a day. Yep. So no stitch hour tonight because we're doing the podcast today. And then 4th of July weekend, no podcast then because I won't be around. But then this past Sunday, we had Lucy Martin. And if you missed it, go watch, listen. We did that video. We're going to start doing, I think, all of the recordings as videos and then extracting the audio. So all you people, the vast majority of people still listen by audio. You won't miss a thing. But for the video people, you're going to get talking heads from now on as much as possible. We may have a guest or two that doesn't want to be on camera, and so we'll back off on that. But so Lucy was a video this past Sunday, so you can watch. There really, I threw in one picture, but that was it, and audio. And then now Lucy will be back. What, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th? So the 14th, Lucy will be back because Lucy is the head of education for Hand and Lock. So on the 14th, we're going to talk with Lucy about Hand and Lock.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
I thought Hand and Lock was kind of another version of the Royal School of Needlework, but I never really studied it much. Not even close. Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. And I didn't realize how many classes they had, you know, until I started poking around, which was dangerous.
And Beth's taking a class from Lucy. So
yes. Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Actually, you'll have the first class before we record with Lucy. So we'll be talking about that in the show. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to class.
Yep. So if you don't know anything about Hand Lock, or if you know everything, on the 14th, that Lucy Martin will be with us, head of education for Hand and Lock, and we're going to talk about Hand and Lock and all they do and what they do and how they go about it. So you'll get a little rundown there. It's that's fascinating, amazing. Yep. And then don't miss our Tour de France shows. We're having a lot of fun with those. Small crowds, which we expected. I mean, it's in the morning of weekdays, so didn't expect to have 150,000 people, but we're having a great time, and it looks like from the video counts that a lot of people are watching it after the fact. So, but we're having a lot of fun. Jessica Grimm has joined us the past couple of days. Stage three, which was Monday's show, at the end, it's a fairly short show because the bike racers didn't cooperate. They rode too fast, so the race was over pretty soon. But at the end, like the last 10 or 15 minutes of that show, Jessica Grimm, we had some pictures of copes from the 1300s.
I got to go back and watch those.
Yeah. And Jessica gave us a little background, a little education on those copes. Wow. From the 1300s, and they're stunning. Absolutely stunning. So watch that. Go ahead.
Jessica's just amazing. I mean, I follow her and get her newsletters. If you don't get her newsletters, you should be getting her newsletters because she gives you a lot of information. She's always going someplace, taking photos, doing research, just doing amazing things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is serious ancient history needlework research. She doesn't mess around. If you watch stage two and three with Jessica, just look behind her at the library of embroidery books that she has. She teaches classes, the whole shoot and match. She doesn't mess around. And get her newsletter. Like you said, get her newsletter. If you don't do anything with gold work or old embroidery, doesn't matter. What you will learn out of her newsletter every week is worth the fact that it's free. Doesn't even cost
you. Right. And she does have Patreon levels. And so at the basic, she sends out just little notices and maybe videos of what she's seeing. But I think at the next level, if you're really, really into medieval embroidery, she does a Zoom where they take like a piece of medieval embroidery and they discuss it. And they say, well, what do you think? What do you think? Which we've sat in on one of those. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and it's kind of intimidating. The people that are in that thing are students of the history. Yeah.
Right. And I'm just looking at the sparkly stuff.
We're just these two dummies sitting here just soaking it up. Yeah.
That's right. I don't know anything about this, but hey.
Yeah. But
that was great.
So, I mean, Jessica Grimm.com. It's Grimm, G-R-I-M-M. She is one you want to tap into because you will learn amazing things about embroidery, and you will learn back in the 1300s, they did embroidery way beyond what we do, way beyond. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and she seems to be one wanting to be a participant on a fairly regular basis with the Tour de France thing. So check that out. And it's not, we talk about bike racing, sure, but we also are needleworkers. And so we have a lot of fun with that. And we got the show on, and the race on in the background. And it's a lot of fun. So join us 11 o'clock Eastern. Now, we will not return until the 8th.
Okay.
Yeah, July 8th, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you said.
That doesn't seem right.
Is it the 9th?
It's the Tuesday. I don't think I have that right. Hang on just a second. July 9th. I did not have that right. Yeah, July 9th is when we'll return. So this will go up on Wednesday. And then because of travel and there's a rest day on Monday for the racers. So the 9th of July, we'll be back 11 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. And then we should be able to go right on through the race all the last 2 weeks. I don't think without any interruptions. My life just has been in the way here the last few days. But we should be able to get through that. But we're just having a lot of fun with it. So,
I haven't been able to join because I'm kind of busy in the mornings. But it seems like if you have that time, like tomorrow's going to rain, so I'm going to be joining you, and then it'd be a perfect way to just sit and visit and learn something. You know, kind of fun. I watched a few videos on the races, and I was like, wow, they go fast.
Yeah, they're pretty fast.
You know, it's like, that's amazing. I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I think it looks fun.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. For them, 25 miles an hour is just cruising around the park. They don't even, it's just,
they're not as fast as they were people. going down those hills. I was like, you're making me nervous.
Yeah, they're not normal people. They're all legs, all power. Yeah, it's amazing to watch. But, we've been having a lot of fun. Jennifer's been spinning the blue fluff that we had on the Wednesday show a couple, 3 weeks ago. She's been spinning that on her spinning wheel. Wow.
I gotta go see that. I gotta go watch a video. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I watch her spin, after what we hacked through there at Kim's, it's like, she just sits there and it just flows out of her fingers. Yeah, there. Yeah.
It's a twisted mess. Yeah, I should show this to my friends who spin and see, because here it is.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And there it goes, undone. They'll laugh. They'll think that's hilarious. They'll be like, okay, Beth, we need to get you better at that. But it was fun, because you know what? We had never done it. And how are you going to learn unless you try something?
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep.
And I know I want to try it again, watch a video, try a little bit longer without being on live and, you know, whatever. But I want to try again because I want to give it another shot. Yep. And you made such nice little spinny wheels.
Yeah, that was fun to do. That's fun. And there's a video from Sassy Jack's, the last live show. There's three live shows. And the last one is 45 minutes of what, five of us trying to spin on drop spindles. It's really comical.
I think Kim said it was mesmerizing to watch Jennifer kind of made her totally relax.
Well, it just flows out of her fingers. I don't know how she does it. It just flows.
No, I, I know. She makes it look really easy.
Yeah.
So you know she's good at it.
In one of the culps that Jessica Grimm showed us, there's a lady spinning in one of the illustrations. There's a lady sitting in a chair spinning with a drop spindle.
Ooh.
And she has between her legs this long pole, and up on top of the pole is a big clump of fluff that Jennifer says they call it a distaff. But there's a big, and then she's pulling the fiber down from that and then spinning it with a drop spindle. So
wow.
Even in the 1300s, they were using drop spindles. So yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. But yeah. And Sassy Jacks, did we have a time or what?
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Nice store. Nice store. I have regrets.
Regrets about what? That you didn't buy more?
Yes. I left a piece of linen behind.
Oh, no. She left linen on the table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah. I'm sure
there'll be another chance.
I'm sure Kim can arrange for you to have it if you want,
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
What do we do?
Phone call away.
Yep, exactly. 14 videos.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 14 videos on the YouTube channel. And I'll get them on the website as soon as I get a spare minute to breathe. But 14 videos, and I made a playlist on the YouTube channel. There's a playlist so you can just turn them on and watch all the way through. But there's 14 videos, 3 live shows. They're each an hour long. And then the rest of them are shorter, 10, 15, 20 minutes at the most. I don't even think they're more than that. But touring the various rooms. Jennifer talking about Sashiko. I got it right.
Sashiko, yes.
Is that right?
Sashiko. Yeah, because yep. I call it Sashiko, and I know that's wrong.
Right.
Sashiko. Yeah,
you got to get the emphasis on the right syllable, as they say.
Yes, yes.
Touring each of the rooms.
Yeah, the thread room. We did the linen room.
Yep.
Yeah. And... what else? Well, you did the outside of the building, which I still haven't watched yet. I want to sit and make Max watch it with me because I want him to see what that building looks like. With Everett. Yeah. You did it with Everett, the ever-elusive Everett. So.
Right, right.
And he was a sweet man. It was nice meeting him. So.
Oh, Everett's one of my favorite people. Yep, just regular folk, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Yep.
So 14 videos. And if you can, you know, a trip to North Carolina, you know, get your stitching friends and make a trip, because it isn't just the shop. Mm-mm. Weaverville, Asheville, that whole area in the Smoky Mountains. Mm-hmm. And you guys vacationed there. You did the Natchez Trace, right?
Yeah, that's Natchez Trace is by Nashville.
South.
Nashville. Further south, okay. Through Miss. Yeah, it goes through. I don't know where it ends.
I don't know.
Anyway, I just travel along in the car. Actually, it's Nashville to Natchez.
That would be
Mississippi.
It.
Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty. But there's also the Blue Ridge Parkway. The Great Smoky Mountains. There were all sorts of like green spaces, like parks and conservatories in the little town right around there, besides the Biltmore, which is right there. Right. There's lots of little, looks like there's lots of little funky shops, lots of great, we tried a few great places to eat.
Oh boy, yeah.
And just hiking, I'm sure there's tons of hiking we didn't even, we haven't gone to, but yeah, that's
artist shops everywhere of all kinds of art.
Breweries.
That too, yes.
No, seriously. I mean, I have friends that's what they like to do. They like to go, they're not heavy drinkers. They just like to go and try the different beers and, see something that's different than what they can get and try something new and then see the area. Yeah. It's a great way to see a different region of the country. So, yeah.
Yep.
Lots
of
places.
It's, so you think, husband doesn't want to go. Or significant other, just to be cover all bases. There's so much more to do. Mm-hmm. You can go to Sassy Jack's and shop, and then your significant other can go find 500 other things to do. The countryside is so beautiful. Well, the restaurants, every one of the restaurants we ate in was terrific.
Yes.
We drove for dinner. One night we drove to Hot Springs.
Yes.
Was that drive beautiful or what?
Yes, it was gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Just a two-lane winding road, just going through the mountains, all the trees, just gorgeous. And Hot Springs, the first couple times Marga and I drove to Sassy Jack's, we went through Hot Springs. And I didn't, you know, it's a little town out in the middle of nowhere. Well, since the last time, I have been watching a couple of hikers who have hiked the Appalachian, right? Appalachian Trail? I don't think you say Appalachian. I don't know.
I say Appalachian, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it's the other way. But anyway, that runs right through Hot Springs.
Yes.
And so I followed these people talking about hiking the trail, and they mentioned Hot Springs. I never put the two together till we went there for dinner. And there's actual hot springs there, and that's a big stopping point for hikers on the trail. So
yeah, that looked like a neat town. All we did was ran in, ate dinner, and left.
Yeah.
But that looked like a neat town to explore too. I mean, lots of little cool little places to look at. And the trail's there. So you wouldn't have to do much of the trail, but you could say you did a little of the trail if you felt up to it.
Right. Yeah, you could walk a couple miles north, come back to town. Yeah,
I did the trail. There you go. I did the trail and get in the hot tub. I get in the hot springs. There you go.
Yeah, she said there was some spa resort there that they have private hot spring tubs that you can get in, and they drain them and clean them, and the next person gets in. So,
that sounds good.
Yeah. So the whole point is go to Sassy Jack's, but it's not just going to a stitching store, to a needlework store. It is an absolute destination where there's a ton of stuff to do. And, Mark and I are already talking about going back. I know you and Max are talking about going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just a beautiful area. I told Max, I said, we've got to go. We've got to make the trip out here and do some hiking and look around and
So go to Sassy Jack's, and in addition, if you want to get Kim has a ton of charts on sale, a bunch of them. She's trying to clear out some inventory so she can bring in other stuff, and over the pandemic and that whole period, a lot of inventory built up, so she's trying to move that out. So she's done several videos where she's offering these things for half off, sometimes more. Like most of the Hands Across the Sea sampler charts are $10. It's like a $30. Most of those charts are $30. Last I bought one.
Right.
$10. Most of them. Now she's got a few that are more recent that she doesn't have very many of, but she had a whole huge stock of it, and she's not going to carry that anymore. So she's clearing them out. So $10, if there's a Hands Across the Sea sampler chart you want, you cannot beat $10.
Right. She had some, and I know at the beginning she showed some videos where she showed some Just Nan. I'm sure they're gone because it was like a first come, first serve. But she just had singles of those. But lots of singles of things, too, of just things that are, she had one of, and she was just like, okay, I'm moving this out, and you could just jot her an email. You never know. Someone might not have asked for it. It might be your favorite chart or one you've been wanting. So,
Yeah, she did, during the grand opening week, you go to her Facebook group page, and on there she has, I assume they're on YouTube, but I haven't looked. I just do it on Facebook. But she did several live shows where she was showing what was on sale. And I can, I know she moved a lot of those, but go check there, watch those. They're not long, and see if you see something you like, and then write to her because the price you can't beat. So,
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sassy Jack Stitchery, it's more than just a needlework store by a long shot. And that store is beautiful. It's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's just, it's really cool.
Yeah. She did a great job. She did a great job on it. Absolutely.
Boy, they poured everything into that for a long time, all the way through the pandemic. They fought through it. Yep. Well worth it. Well worth it.
Yeah, and it was fun. We did, I got to mention, I think we met, I think her name was Pat. And I,
Pat McCauley.
Asked her, she said I influenced her to do the gold work classes with Clara.
Oh, okay.
Which cracked me up. I was like, she goes, it's your fault. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Not really, but you know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, you were outside when she came into the store, and I met her, and it's good to meet you and everything. And then, where's Beth? I said, well, she's outside. Well, it's her fault. And she went storming out to let you know that you'd sucked her into gold work.
And all of them. Yeah. So, but we're in the same boat, Pat, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Beth is a professional enabler, so, you know.
You're welcome.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a service. Yeah, it was neat. It's neat. Always neat to meet people who are in the audience all the time.
Yes. Yeah,
we get to know them a little better. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, we were driving, you know, a lot of hours in the car because from St. Louis, it's 9.5 hours. And then Cindy and Robin, that was another 4.5 hours on top of that. So Wednesday, when we came home, Well, Cindy and Robin rode to St. Louis and then picked me up, and then we picked Beth up on the way. Just out hitchhiking at some truck stop. It was,
thumb out.
And then we all the way down, and then on the way back, we didn't go too far, a couple hours maybe, and then we dropped you off with your son, and then we rode the way back. But a lot of car time with the four of us.
Yes.
And you were stitching. I can't do that, but I was thinking about that because anytime I've tried to stitch in the car, it's been cross stitch where you got to get it in a hole. But you were smart because you didn't do cross stitch.
No.
Yeah.
No. I did. I'm still working on it. I'm close to being done with this Stitch Stories Tea Party. Yeah, Tea Party. And what's nice is it's printed on there. I've got to not lose my needle because I was almost done. That's pulling out. I'm going to move it back. So
we'll, for the audio people, we'll put up a picture of best progress. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's printed on there. It's printed in color. So you know what color to put where, although you don't have to, you can change things up. She sends you with a guide for the stitches, and a nice color picture. And then if you buy you can buy it just printed, but she also sends it. You can get it as a kit. Now, the scissors don't come with it, but it comes, and mine's all a mess now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it comes in a little metal box. All of our kits come in little metal boxes with a clear top on it. So everything you need is in this little box you can just shove in your purse or whatever. It's,
And,
you were
smart. And I just threw in a pair of scissors. So what's nice is you just go. You know, as long as you know the stitches, you're just too long.
Yeah. But see, the thing about surface embroidery, and this is where you were smart, is you don't have to get it in an exact hole.
Right.
So you were able to stitch in the car and talk, and you could do surface embroidery because you don't have to find that hole. Because that's what drove me nuts. Every time I get the needle ready to go through the right hole, the car would have a bump. And, you know, it's like at some point, just forget it. This is driving me nuts. But see, this is where, you were smart. So now the next time I'm going to stitch in a car, I got to try surface embroidery.
Right. And the thing is, like, I was just thinking, Mary Corbett has, like, a doodle idea where you draw, like, a squiggly thing, and then you do, like, chain stitch or stem stitch and just kind of fill it in, like, very abstract. I'm pretty sure she does. Or like one of the dish towels that we used to hear, like what my grandma did. You know, and I have it sitting here with a little lace, but you know, these are all printed up in the wrong way. See it?
Yeah.
With you know, like a little basket, and this has a heart, and it's just basic stitches, a satin stitch and a stem stitch, and nothing major. But you can get those, you pretty much get those printed anywhere, and so it's nice. And you get something done while you're in the car. I mean, My problem is if I'm just sitting and I'm sitting too long, then I want a snack or take a nap. Those are my two options. So it's like, that's why I stitch. Is if it's in my hand and I'm just putting a few stitches in, even if it's like one or two a minute, you know, I'm not doing anything fast.
Yeah.
I'm getting something done. I'm getting something done.
So. Yeah, but it was, no, that was, I was sitting there thinking, oh man, I wish I had a thought to do that, because that's something I think anybody can do in a car.
Right. And the other one is the shashiko.
Yes.
You know, because it's basically a running stitch that you're doing. Right. Now there's a rhythm to it and whatever, but again, it's just a single stitch with thread and you're just going in and out. Right. Or slow stitching or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. So as
long as you're not trying to do perfect satin stitches, then you would not be happy.
Yeah, then you would not be happy. But you can you can do a bunch of vines and leaves. You can do all kinds of stuff.
French knots. I have no problems doing French knots.
Yeah. And you were just doing it in hand when you got a little 4-inch hoop.
Mm-hmm. And, my little, one of those cheapy ones. The other thing is you need to remember is you should do something that's washable in case you spill on it, and you should be willing to lose it. I have never lost an item while traveling yet, but we're traveling in a camper, you never know.
Yeah.
Something gets misplaced, whatever, and that's the only other advice I would give you. You don't want to take something that's so precious that you don't want to lose it, Yeah, because you could.
And washable, because if you got something that you were working on for 3 years and you got some stain on it, you would be really depressed.
Right. And you're sitting in the car, you don't have any access to water. Yeah, I bring hand wipes a lot of times, so if I need to wipe my hands, I can. But you're holding it in your hand and you're going to get sweat on it. It needs to be washed. You need to be able to throw in the wash it a little bit. Give it a quick rinse.
Yep. So, yeah, and I scrambled around before we left to get the Avlia Sea of Light all set up so I could stitch the entire time. Never took it out. Nope. I mean, and you can see why. I mean, it was nonstop set up, record, trying to post videos and all the prep for each show. And
And then we crashed. It was like done.
Yep. Yeah. Wednesday, when we were all done, we were all cooked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun, but
yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, doing all and those videos. Great.
Yeah. And it was great meeting Jennifer in person and talking. And I think the ride home too was interesting because we talked to, Robin was there and she was again asking the what if question. Which I thought was interesting. It was just like, okay, what if? What if we change this? What if we do that?
Yeah.
And being with creative minds like that always kind of makes me feel more creative, makes me think more creatively, I think.
Yeah.
I agree. I enjoyed that. That was lots of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But, 14 videos. I mean, a lot of people, floss tube type people, put out a video a month, and you know how much work that is. Well, in what, 10 hours? We did 14, we were hustling.
That was a lot.
Speaking of that ride home, the first couple of hours of the ride home, Robin, Beth, me, and Cindy, we cooked up the framework for a Fiber Talk event.
Mm.
So interested to hear from people. Basically, what we're looking at doing is a weekend event for people of any technique. Not just cross stitch. And the expectation is, if you do needle point, if you do embroidery, if you do cross stitch, gold work, white work, it doesn't matter. This is open, not open to, but I mean we want all techniques,
right?
And then we're looking at maybe having two or four classes on things that would be of interest to everyone. Mm-hmm. So color or tips for stitching, kinds of things. So it's not just a cross stitch. It's not just a needlepoint specific class. And not projects. We're not going to have a thing where one more project. No, you got enough projects. Bring them. Stitch on them.
Right.
So we're looking at putting together an event. So looking for feedback. What are you looking for in an event? A big portion of it will be sitting around in tables in a big room stitching. Yes, of course. But what are you looking for in an event? Would you be interested in such an event? We're looking at probably March in St. Louis, because we'd look at how many people could drive 2 to 3 hours and be here. And that's a lot mm-hmm. of people from a lot of states. Obviously you can fly, but you know, it's easiest because it's more centrally located. So let us know what you would like to see so we can get some feedback, because we have a pretty good idea. We cooked up quite a weekend in the car there, but, we'd be interested to know what people think. And would you even be interested? I mean, if we're going to put this together, could we get enough people to cover the costs? Cause that's kind of important.
Because it's and to put on that kind of event takes a lot of time, so you really want to know, are people interested, you know, what are you interested in? Does that sound, you know, like to know more about color? Would you like to know tips and tools of the trade, you know, sort of thing, or something else? And very general, not a specific, I want to know more about white work, but maybe more about tension, or how to get your needlework to look really good, you know, mm-hmm. how to improve your needlework, I guess, is the, to take it up a notch.
Right. And we're not looking at sign up and pay extra for these classes. We're looking at they would be part of the thing. The only limitation would be how many seats can fit in a smaller side room. Mm-hmm. But it would just be part of it. It wouldn't be like, you know, got to sign up ahead of time and get in on a class or I miss out. So we're looking at that. And you just gave me another idea. We could have a table in the main room. So like if you wanted to talk about tension, if you were having trouble mm-hmm. with tension, we could have a table with some skilled stitcher come to the table, you know, in a half an hour, and we can answer your questions about tension. Right. Or we can answer your questions about needles. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is. So we could have that too. That's another thing. You just gave me that idea. So we're looking at March of next year, because we got some planning time. So if you're interested and that format sounds good, say so. If not, if there's something else you have in mind, let us know, because we'd like some feedback. But we've been banging around. We've been through so many iterations of doing a Fiber Talk event in the past 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, but never pulled the trigger because you don't know if people are going to show, if they're going to be interested. And the upfront invest, you know, what slows me down is the commitment to the hotel for rooms and then for the ballroom. You know, that they don't like to give that back. So if you don't have the people coming to cover that cost, then, you know, there we are. Yeah. Let us know.
But definitely not a project involved.
No.
Because none of us need more of those. But you know, definitely tips and tech. You know, more informational.
Yeah,
which is I think would be very good.
And the real hard focus is that it is not for one technique. It is not a needlepoint event. It is not a cross stitch event. It's not an embroidery event. It's a whatever you stitch event. Come and join. You might see something you've never tried, and somebody can help you get started and
enable you in something new, a new thing. You know, take you a hole in a new direction. Yep.
This from Beth. I don't do gold work, Ellicott. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Clara.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was going to say I was scrambling around before the thing to get the Avlia Sea of Light set up. Never hauled all this stuff down there, never stitched a stitch. But with the Tour de France thing, Tour de Broderie, as we're calling it, I've been stitching on...
Fancy.
That's Jessica Grimm. That was Jessica Grimm's. Because she sends an email to me that she had enjoyed the first thing. I don't know why I'm holding my fingers up to indicate that she typed in a subject line, but I'm holding my fingers up to indicate that. But the subject line was Tour de Broderie, however you say that. Perfect. In French. And I, what is this? And then I saw it was from Jessica. I said, well, this has got to be interesting. Well, she, you know, there was the name for the Tour de France thing. So so that's what we're calling it, the Tour de Broderie.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I've been stitching on this Avlia thing, Sea of Light, which is a big tabletop piece that
has a huge piece.
Yeah.
How big is that? Okay. How big is that? I'm curious because that's on my short list of projects that I want to get.
23 by 23, 300 by 301 stitches, 23 by 23 inches of 26 count ground cloth. She sends 64 yards of one color, 32 yards of another, 22 yards of another, and 4 yards of the fourth color. So just 4 colors, but the main color, 64 yards. So you're two strands over two. Yeah, the thing is gigantic. I mean, it's just this wad of cloth that I've got all clipped together in a hoop. So I've been making some progress. Two things from that. One is the ground cloth that Krista uses. I had never really stitched on it. I just played with it a couple times. Whew.
Isn't that nice?
Whew.
Wait till you wash it. I know that sounds weird, but I did not worry because I finished the Blue Larkspur a while back.
And
I knew it was dirty because I literally crumpled it up and threw it because I was mad. So, yeah. But it was, you know, I washed it. I did a gentle wash, you know, with a little gentle detergent, gave it a quick wash. But that's what it's meant for. And it just looked so beautiful once I ironed it and I put it up. I was like, this is great. This, I can see why she uses it, because then you really can use this piece of embroidery.
Yeah. Oh, and this cloth is durable too. I mean, this is not some lightweight cloth. I mean, this will hold up because just about everything she makes is meant to be used. Put on a table, something sat on top of it, whatever it is. No, it's a good, high-quality cloth, and it is nice to stitch on.
Yeah. And I have I pulled from, I'm sorry for the crinkles, people. I pulled, this is the Baltic. I forget
Baltic
the name.
Sea?
Baltic Easter basket cover. And it was red, which is, I guess, the Orthodox color for Easter.
Okay.
But my daughter is on the altar guild at her church, and they needed stuff for ordinary time. And I said, well, that's green.
Yeah.
So I went to Sassy Jack's and pulled a couple of greens out. And this is Cosmos, so I know it'll wash too.
Right.
But this fabric is lovely.
Yeah.
Just lovely. And it stitches so, so nice once you get going on it. It just... And I started in the center. I see you started at the edge.
Top left.
Well, okay,
there's nothing in the center of this one.
Oh. Ooh.
It's a border.
Okay.
It's called a Sea of Light border. Yeah, there's nothing in the center, so I can't start
there. Do you have a picture?
But yeah, I do. Yeah. All the picture is just one corner of it.
Oh, is that just one corner? See, now I thought that was the center.
No. No, it's four of these large motifs, one in each corner, connected by a bar, a rather fancy bar. Yeah, and then the center is open, so you can put a pot of flowers on it on the table, or the gravy pitcher, you know, so you could get gravy on it, that kind
of thing. That'd be perfect, yeah. I think Barga's going to probably put flowers in the center.
Yeah, we aren't putting
roses,
gravy.
Your roses, little miniature roses, yeah.
Yeah, we aren't putting a gravy pitcher on that sucker, no way.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to ask you, so you basted, I saw your basting lines. Now, did you get all the way down? Because I'm telling you, those are important.
I basted all the way down. Now, Beth's advice on Avlia stuff is to baste, right? Mm-hmm. I never basted anything. I've done a couple of Gayan Rogers where I basted a little bit because I knew it was a trouble spot and I needed to make sure. But generally, I just count them like a sampler. I never baste them. Well, I took Beth's advice and I basted. Bingo. Bingo. What a difference. Because what a difference. Because every 10 stitches, but even if the if it doesn't end on 10, it overlaps, I know I'm on the button because I hit that basting line. So that was worth the trouble. Yep, good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bravo. And on this one, I started in the center, and I just did basic basting lines going out because you've got a it's green, it's a cross, some sort of cross, and it looks like little snowflakes going to me going through it. But so I can hit the border, but so that I know I hit the corners correctly, because that was the problem with the last piece I did. I got off on one of those diagonals, and my border didn't meet. Right. So I didn't want to start it on a border and go around, because I knew I would have issues putting it in the center later. Yeah. I thought, I'm just going to start the center and center out. So.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because Jennifer bases everything, mm-hmm. or just about everything. She bases. So Cindy has a rule. I love Cindy's rule. If she has to take it out twice, she bases, which is pretty good. Because what did she say? Because I know I'll just do it wrong the third time, so I might as well base.
Right.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Perfect.
But, I can see why you would do it. There's a real advantage to it. I'm glad I did it. Followed your advice. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's not that they're not, she's got a lot of, Krista normally does a lot of repeating motifs. It's just that it's easy to get off. And then because it's a continuous border, if you make a mistake and it doesn't match up, it looks off. You have to get that right.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. If not, well, it looks a little odd.
And speaking of borders, see, you know, it's always a mystery. Will my reproduction sampler border meet up? If you based, now that I've learned and I've done it, if you based, you've got a better chance that everything's going to match up. Because mm-hmm. you'll have a clue mm-hmm. that you're off somewhere. Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Right. Always something to learn. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Avlia Folk Embroidery, avliaembroidery.com. She's got a ton of stuff. Get it there. Kim carries Avlia too. So if you're ordering mm-hmm. stuff from Kim and you want to try an Avlia thing, Kim has a selection there at the shop and can get more. So if you wanted to just include that in your order, if you go to Avlia, you can get Krista's stuff. Get her newsletter. She's like a little mm-hmm. factory with designs. And she has a new book coming up. You can pre-order her book. What was it, 70 designs?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Truckload of designs, So you can pre-order her book coming up in August, I think. We'll have a show. She already did a show with somebody about the book. They beat us to it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I wanted to be first. We're not.
We're not. Oh, well.
That's quite all right. We'll do a show. Avliaembroidery.com. If you buy any of this stuff, if we enable you to buy anything, please mention Fiber Talk. It really does help.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. And I do like her designs. Very relaxing. The one I'm working on is just two colors and just nice big blocks too, which makes it just fun to sit and stitch if you're tired and work on. Something useful.
Right. This Sea of Life border thing, same thing. You know, once you get the pattern in your head, which is not hard to do because it's pretty basic, then I can sit and watch the Tour de France, watch the screen for comments and to make sure that we're actually sending out a signal when we say we are, and still stitch and not have to go back afterwards and completely redo it. So,
That's great.
Yep.
That's always good. Win-win.
Yeah, it sure is. Because that's why.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you commented about the amount of threads. She sends enough. I mean, I ripped the last time. I ripped a ton. I know. And she sends enough for that. And she will send you more if you, you know, you don't have a dog, but if the cat eats it or something, the grandkids decide to go and.
No, not allowed in the room. No.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Not allowed unsupervised. No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that came about the first time that one of them came into the room and ran over and grabbed a pair of scissors. No. Leave everything right where it's at, please. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's no scissors good. In your hands.
No, not a toy. Not a toy. So Edna Sanabia, was it? I hope I said that last name right. She's been a listener forever. We were talking about hoop stands and stands and whether they're the right height. You know, will yours go high enough for you or low enough for you? And she uses the Hardwick Manor hoop with the stick that goes into the clamp.
Okay, so like this one.
Yeah, yeah. And she said that the stick that you move up and down to adjust height is not long enough for her.
Really?
She likes it to be closer to her eyes. And of course, it depends on what table you're on, too.
Right.
So for me, that works on the table that I'd stitch on. But my Case Creation metal stand that I use for needlepoint is too short and won't go high enough if it's sitting on the floor for my comfort. So I end up hunched over, which, mm-hmm. you know, long term is just not good. So I built out of 2x4s a box and put wheels on it to raise it up. I don't know, 6-8 inches. I don't know what it was. The up and down a piece of metal that goes up and down that you adjust height. Mm-hmm. Now I've got some flexibility in it, so I can get it where I want it.
Oh.
So, yeah. So it's interesting. I just wonder when she was talking about that, how many people have trouble that the one problem with their stands is they can't adjust it to the height they want.
And I was just thinking about the ones my boys made for me. I think I've changed chairs since they made it, and it is a little short. And I tend to be, I've noticed, especially sitting and working on certain pieces, you know, at different heights. Like if I'm working on my 17th century band sampler, which is on 45 count, it's very precise work and I need it very close. So I find myself hunched over. Oh, you guys don't see me. I'm popping my head down.
She actually hunched over for that. It was very exciting.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm thinking maybe I should have them, my boys, put that on something, lift it up, because it does have the arm on it goes up and down. You might move my arm up and down too. Yes. So you can see that. So I can get a better, stance or way to sit, because it is hurting my back. And after a while, I'm like, okay, I'm done because this is hurting and I need to move.
Yeah. The idea to give you more range of motion. So, So I did my needlepoint thing I'm looking at right now. I did a 2x4 on end on top of a 2x4 laying flat on top of some small wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably up a good 8 inches or so.
Wow,
yeah.
That is pretty good.
But then that gives the adjustable shaft that goes up and down, that gives me now range to move that for different projects. So like, for instance, your sampler where you want it to be close, I can jack it up and I don't have it barely hanging on. And then I'm not slumped over and your back starts hurting. And yeah, so
right.
I think that's something that, I wonder how many people buy stands that don't work out for them, and that's really what the problem is.
Yeah, and we were having a discussion over dinner about trestle stands.
Mm.
And, you know, and they were like, well, it's just pieces of wood, just, you know, like a sawhorse. And I'm like, yeah, but it adjusts so many different ways.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that isn't a better solution long term.
Right.
You know, just say, just make me this. Just right. Just make it.
I am going to make one. You know, I had those plans and I said I am going to make one, because I think a trestle made properly, just like you said, I think that solves all the problems for all stitching, yes. No matter what it is.
Right. Well, you haven't started Dawn to Dusk yet.
No.
And it's huge. Talk about another huge, big project. And that's, I'm always wrestling with that. You know, it's got to, I've got to rotate it, you know, put it in the right position so I can reach the stitches. I've got to lay a cloth across it so I don't put my arm on my stitches so I'm reaching. I'm thinking a trestle frame stand would be perfect, because then I could adjust the width where I wanted it without it, so it wouldn't fall off, which is a problem I've had with it falling off my current stand. Or it's too big. And they even adjusted. They made the arms longer. They said, oh, that's an easy fix, Mom. We'll just adjust the arms and make them a little longer. Well, they did that, and it's still longer than the arms they made. Yeah. So they didn't want to make them too long because they said my stand would tip over, and they were probably right. I would have to put my legs on the stand to keep it from falling into me, so it would have been bad. But I think that's the problem. And I think the Royal School of Needleworks, they adjust those so they're at the right height, the trestle, for people.
Yep. Yeah. No, I can't help but think that is why so many people have stands that they say, I just don't like them. Mm-hmm. And it's because they can't get it to the right height for their stitching, or can't adjust the height depending on what type of project they're working on, where I can have it lower because it's like this Avlia thing. I mean, I don't need it very close at all. No. And I've been using a magnifier, but I don't need the light on. But then, like you say, on like a 40, 45 count linen, you might need it closer. And if you're doing intricate work, you want it right up there so you can see it. So
Right. And I wonder, these Hardwick Manor, it's got a screw on it, right?
Yeah.
So you could take that off, but you need a woodworker to make your stick longer.
Right. Well, that's what I'm going to do for Edna. I'm gonna try it and send it to Edna if it works. I've already done some research about how to graft a piece of dowel on the end of the stick that goes in the holder.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, because the head part on these things is a clamp that they just glue a stick into. I mean, somebody's got to have woodworking skills for that. But I think on the other end, I think I can just graft another dowel on with glue.
Oh, onto this end.
Yeah, on the bottom end, just a 2-inch piece. And I think with glue and maybe a small pin or something, a wooden pin in there, I think I can make that stick longer and durable enough that it'll give Edna more range of motion.
Right, because even I have the sit-upon one too.
Yeah.
And that was too tall or too I mean, I had a horrible time adjusting that one up and down. That was just like, this is a mess. Or I'm a mess or something.
No. See that, but that's the thing. See, that's the thing with that Hardwick Manor one is, now I have it with the clamp that goes on the table, the barrel clamp that goes on the table, but then I also have the sit-upon paddle with the stand, and then you put the post into that and clamp it down.
Right.
When I'm sitting on it, when I'm doing that, I can't get the height right because I can't get it up high enough because the stick isn't long enough.
Oh.
But then
go ahead.
But when I put it on a table, then I have it all the way down, and that's the right height for me.
Hmm.
See?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and I thought about, because I would prefer to stitch two-handed. And I can't, the barrel clamp I love because it's the right height. I can adjust that easily. Yeah. It's the right height for me. But I don't think my mother-in-law would like it if I stuck that on her dining room table.
Probably not.
It might make a mark and I might be in trouble.
You might. Yep.
But I keep on thinking, well, if I take that paddle thing, I don't know. That's so much adjusting. So I end up just stitching in hand.
Yeah.
You know, just with the hoop. But I think it would go faster and I get a lot more done and get all sorts of interaction with my in-laws with me sitting on that paddle thing.
Yeah.
If I brought that. And but I mean, but it's hard for me to adjust, and I haven't used it enough. I think I need to play with it some more.
Right. Well, I think it needs 2 more inches on that stick. The hardwood magnet, 2 more inches would then give the range of motion. And I bet you that the sit on paddle would work then for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll have to get some engineers working on that.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple extra sticks, so I'm going to give it a whirl. I think I know how I'm going to do it, because I don't have the right tools, but I think I have the tools that will work. So we'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, and I ought to take it, because my brother-in-law is a woodworker and does beautiful things. And if it didn't work, he is enough of a he used to do die and tool making.
Tool and die, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tool and die, yeah. He would be like, okay, I got to fix this for you, because he wouldn't be able to stand it. And he'd fix it, and it'd be beautiful. So it'd be like, ooh.
Yep.
There's an idea.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure any skilled woodworker with a decent set of tools in a shop could make it happen in about 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and as for clamping on the table, take a piece of felt with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think they'd have fits. That would be.
Oh, would they? Oh.
Yeah. Right. Well, and the other problem, I don't know if you've ever had this problem with this clamp, is I'm afraid it's not big enough, the barrel.
I have had that problem.
Space.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is my fear, because of the way her table is. It's a pretty nice thick wood table, and I'm thinking, I don't know if it'll go in. So.
Yeah, I've had that problem. I've had that problem at hotel rooms. The table's too thick for the opening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what did you do?
Stitched in hand as best I could. And then I started carrying the sit-upon paddle and the barrel clamp at the same time. You know, whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to
do. Yep. You got to do something so we can stitch, right?
Yep. So we're going to try that. We're going to try that. And then I got, next Wednesday at the stitch hour, next Wednesday, so I'm not going to talk about what I was just going to talk about, we're all going to show what we bought at Sassy Jack's. Because, the shopping was, it was serious. Yep.
We're in a shop. And I have I do have a little shop here, but nothing like what Kim has.
Right. Yeah.
And not with those linen room banding.
Yep. Yeah, I bought 3 pieces of linen for which I have absolutely no use, and 3 pieces of banding, one of which I have a use, and the others, you know, whatever. Yeah. You never know.
I have ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one banding, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it, but beyond that, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It'll be fun to talk about and see whatever. I don't think we really looked at what everyone else got too when we were there. We never really did. So this will be fun.
Right. No. I have no
idea what Robin got.
I don't know. I didn't look. I don't know what Cindy got. I don't know what anybody got. So
Cindy, Jennifer, no.
It'll be new to us along with the audience. Mm-hmm. So that'll be next Wednesday, for the Stitch Hour. All right. That's going to be enough, I think. I do think.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
So join us on the 9th for our 11 o'clock a.m. for our Tour de Broderie, Tour de France show. No podcast Sunday. On the 14th, we'll have Lucy Martin back for round 2, this one about hand and lock. Listen to the one last week. That's
right?
It. We're out.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Thanks.
Nothing else.
For listening. Bye.
Bye.